Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
There's a greater question behind the what in the things we do, and that is the why we do them. And so, why should I want to advance to the next level in life? Why should there be a passion or a zeal or a desire for me to excel in life? And what I wanted you to see here in Exodus chapter 19 was God's plan for his people all along. So let's read a few verses here in the Old Covenant, and let me set the stage here, because this is a people that God has brought out of bondage. These are a people that God has brought out of captivity. They've been in Egyptian bondage for 400 plus years. So these individuals do not know freedom, and God has brought them out by the hand of Moses and great signs and wonders. And here they are and being brought out of bondage. And God says to Moses, listen, I need you to deliver this word to my people. So let's look at it here in Exodus 19, verse number 5. He says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Let me stop right there. Obey my voice and keep my covenant. You know, the word of God is translated in the scripture as either the logos word, which is the written word, and the rhema word, which is the spoken word. And I really believe that all of us as Christians, as believers, are called, number one, to honor the logos or the written word of God in our life. But secondly, not only have we been given the written word, we've been given the voice of God's spirit, the leading of his spirit that speaks to our heart, that draws us, that convicts us. And as we remain honorable to the written word and sensitive to the voice of God's spirit, then we are set up to only succeed. So he says here, if you will be sensitive to my voice, obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Now notice a couple of things here. First of all, he says in verse 5, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, so that if is a big word, then you shall be. So notice there's an if you do this, then this will happen. God's word always gets results. His word never returns unto him void. So he's saying, if you do my word, then this will happen. Notice what he says the then is in verse 5. He says, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. Now, when we want to describe somebody in a dignified manner that we think might be crazy, you know, or we might say, man, that guy right there, he is peculiar. You know, and we're saying it like we just want to be kind. We really want to say, you know, he's out of his head. But so we might say peculiar. But when you read the word peculiar in scripture, that doesn't mean silly, crazy, or off the wall. The word peculiar in scripture means set apart, sanctified, holy, different. God has called us to be sanctified. He's called us to be set apart. He's called us to be different, not necessarily strange. Can you say amen? So he says, I want you to be a peculiar treasure. I want you to be a people that are treasured. I want you to be a people that are peculiar unto me. Now notice that this being a people that are peculiar, it is a place, because he says here, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Read that next part, above all people. So he said, you're different in that you're above. I make you peculiar in that I make you above. Listen, it is God's will that you be above only and not beneath, that you be the head and not the tail. I don't know what happened in years past that caused so many believers to take on the wrong mindset of Christianity and Christendom. But there are many that don't have the right view of what Christianity should be. God has called every born-again believer to operate in excellence, to be above only and not beneath, and everything that is attached to God should be brilliant, should be amazing, should be glorious, simply because of name's sake. Hallelujah. We've got to break this mindset that if it's for the church or if it's for a Christian, then it's mediocre. If it's going to get done, it ought to get done by somebody that has that kind of equipment that we've been given by our Father. But somehow or another through the years, I don't know what happened, but we seem to allow the enemy to separate our spiritual life. Now, y'all hear me. Our spiritual life from our secular life. Where we let the enemy draw a line in the sand and said, okay, keep your faith, keep your spirituality, keep all that for the Lord over there at his house. But when you leave the house of God, you don't bring any of that with you. We've separated in our mind our spiritual walk from the church and the world. You know, it's like so many believers have a certain standard that they apply only to their church, but they don't apply that same standard to everything else in their life. And then what I'm getting at is that we put a standard on the house of God in our church, but we don't keep that same standard when we step out of church. If we operated in the same excellence and we're led by the same convictions 7 days a week, not just one day a week, it would change the way we do family. It would change the way we did everything. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? So we've got to break this mindset that I'm convinced was offered by the enemy, that you keep your spirituality at church, you keep that on Sunday, but you don't let that carry over into everything else you do. But it's time for you and I as believers to carry our faith walk into every aspect of our life, that we carry Jesus and the Word of God into everything that we do, because ultimately we want the success in our life. Oh my goodness, we want the success. Success in our life to be connected to our God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Imagine you're in an award ceremony and an individual receives an accolade or an award, and he comes up to the platform to receive his reward, and he says, first of all, I want to thank the man upstairs. Secondly, I want to thank my mama and my auntie. All right. And you say, okay, who's the man upstairs? Who is the man upstairs? Another guy gets up, he receives his reward, and he says, the first thing I want to do is give all praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No. Now I know who you're giving the credit to. Now I know who you're giving the glory to. Now, if I'm seeking to understand you as a person, if I'm seeking to understand your work ethic, the way you treat people, if I'm seeking to get a better understanding of who you are and how you ended up in this place, now there's a connection to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ versus the one that says the man upstairs. Well, who's the man upstairs? Listen, God wants there to be a connection with your life, you as a husband, you as a wife, you as an entrepreneur, you as a student, you as a whoever you is, you understand what I'm saying to you. The success that you have in life, God wants there to be a connection to your success and his kingdom. Because ultimately, as we reach those next levels, we become more influential. That's the why behind the what. The reason why I know God wants to take all of you to another level is because he wants you to become more influential. Because when you become influential, you can use your life to advance God's kingdom. You want to be the kind of person that when you call somebody up and invite them to church, they say, man, so-and-so invited me, I better go. See, you're influential. And as we take these seats that God has ordained for us to take, we become influential, and we can use that influence for his kingdom. But if you're a Nicodemus that's only coming to see Jesus at night when no one else is aware,
then now you can't in the day bring him glory because nobody knows about your relationship. If I showed up on your job tomorrow and I said, hey, good to see you, and you said, hello, pastor, let me introduce you to somebody. Hey, come over here and meet my pastor. And what would they say? Your pastor? You go to church? Let's hope that's not the case. Come over to chapter 26, Deuteronomy 26. Woo, we're going to get somewhere here in a minute. I'm excited. I'm almost done with this foundation. We're going to get into it. Somebody say foundation. Yeah, but it takes me a while with the foundation. Be all right. Deuteronomy 26, let's go to verse 18. When you get over there, say amen. All right, watch this. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Now notice what he wants to do, verse 19. The what is in verse 18. What do? I keep his word. I do what he says. I be a do-the-book Christian. You say, how you spell that? D-O-D-A-B-O-O-K, do-the-book. That's verse 18. Now, verse 19, he says, here's the why. And to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God as he hath spoken. So God said, I want you to be different. I want you to be higher in praise and in name and in honor, unlike anybody else. I've called you to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Now, come quickly to the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. Let's see what Jesus had to say about this. And there's another verse I want you to put in your notes. It's Titus 2:14. Because Titus 2:14 tells us that God saved us through Christ, redeemed us through Jesus, purified us by his blood so that we would be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So we know what he did, but why did he do it? Ultimately, our lives should be bringing him glory. Now, watch this in Matthew 5. And we'll look at it in verse 14. Everybody there? Watch this. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine when you're at church that other church folk may see your good works and glorify God in the presence of the choir. Is that what it said? No. It said, let your light so shine before men that they, the men of the world, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. They might not even know your Father, but they glorify your Father, which is in heaven, when they see the way you live. That's what Jesus said. I should be living such a life that those that don't even know the Father have to acknowledge him and his presence, his power, his wisdom, his strength in my life. Is your life bringing your Father glory in the presence of those who don't even know him? That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, we've talked about a couple of things that will get us to the next level. Number one, vision. Number two, excellence. I want to introduce the third. And before I give you this third one, because this is not necessarily one of those words that's going to give you a chill. You know how you're in your church and every once in a while something is said and you get a chill? You get something just crawl down your spine like a chill bump. Like, ooh, man, you get that little feeling. Happy man worship, you know. I remember my boys, because they're the oldest of the four, I remember James came to me one day and said, Daddy, what's that when I feel like I'm getting chills in church? I said, well, it ain't the air conditioning. I had explained to him the anointing, the tangible touch of God, that you can feel it when a word has come that'll break you free. You can feel it when the Holy Spirit is moving in the atmosphere, glory to God. Thank God for a God that is touchable, amen, that touches us. So this word I'm about to introduce is not necessarily going to give you a chill. It may. So I want to set it up. What I'm about to give you is number three is going to be a what. But don't let your mind stop or the development stop with the what. You got to understand the why behind it. And the why will change your life. It'll cause you never to forget the what, because there's a why behind it. You understand? So number three, initiative. Initiative. If you want to get to the next level, you must apply initiative. You must take initiative. Now see, there's been no chills yet, right? Anybody get a chill? Nobody got a chill. All right, your chill will come later. Chill out. Here's the definition of the word initiative. Oh, we about to get good up in here. The definition of the word initiative is the power or opportunity to do something before others do. The power or opportunity to do something before others do. A second definition is the energy and desire that is needed to do something. But let's get back to that first. The power or opportunity to do something before others do. So people of initiative take advantage of an opportunity. They see what has not been done. They see what no one else has done yet. And they say, man, nobody's doing this. Somebody ought to do this. Well, you know what? I'm going to do this. That's initiative. Taking advantage of an opportunity. Doing something before anybody else does it. Now, that's the what, but let me tell you the why. The why will change your life. You'll never forget this what because of this why. Servants. And I'm going to explain that in Scripture here in a minute. Servants. I'm going to explain this point. Servants do what they're told. That's all they do is just what they're told. They don't do nothing more and they don't do nothing less. They just do what they're told. But you're not a servant. You are sons and daughters. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And sons and daughters recognize their heirs. And they recognize that their Father God owns everything. And he's in complete control. And that whatever they do under the name of service, they do as an investment in their Father's kingdom. So what I do for the Lord, I don't do as a servant, I do as a son. Yes, I render my service in humility, but I see myself as a son. A servant will only do what he's told, and a servant will do nothing until he's told. But God has not called you servants, he's called you sons. Sons are heirs. Sons know their place in the kingdom. Sons don't wait on a command to do something. They see the need and they do it because they are not servants, they're owners. I was out the other day and I walked by where we keep our trash cans at the house right outside the garage. And there was some trash on the ground. And it hit me. I said, I know my boys. I know one of them saw this. And I'm not knocking my boys right here. It became a moment where I said, okay, there's something I got to do as a parent. And I know my boys are young men of honor. I can tell either one do something, I know they'll get it done. And I thought to myself, okay, if I said James, if I said Jaron, get that trash that's picked up right by the trash can, they would have done it, no question asked. I said, I got to get them to a place where when they walk outside and see trash, you live here, this is your house. You're the heir of this house. You're the son of this house. You're not the servant of this house. You're the son of this house. The servant of this house might wait until he's told, pick up trash. Yes, sir. But the son of the house said, this is my house. My house got to be excellent. See, we as parents have got to raise our children up, not with a servant mindset, but a son mindset. Now I'm going to show you what Jesus had to say about this, so let's go over and look at it in the book of Luke. Turn with me to the book of Luke. And I want to go to the 17th chapter, and I want to show you something that Jesus had to say about this. Luke 17. And this will mess up your mind, what I'm getting ready to show you now. It'll mess up the natural mind because you're like, what? Yeah. See, God has not called us to only move at a command. Ooh. See, if I asked you today, I said, hey, what men are individuals, men and women of the Bible, resonate with you? Who do you look up to? Who do you honor when you read these stories in Scripture? And you say, well, you know, number one, Jesus, amen. And who's number two? And you'd likely have a number two. And most of you probably would have David in your top list. Anybody would put David in the top list? Man, I love David. Well, watch this. David is told by his father in 1 Kings 17. He says, I want you to go, 1 Samuel 17, I want you to go and carry some bread and cheese to your brothers. His brothers were down there fighting the Philistines. And Jesse, David's daddy, said, go down there and carry some bread and cheese. And so David took the bread and the cheese and he went down there to give to his brothers who were supposed to have been fighting. And they wasn't fighting. They were down in the trench hiding. So they didn't eat any nourishment because they weren't burning any calories. And so David gave them the bread and the cheese. And he noticed nobody was fighting. And they told him the reason nobody was fighting because of this giant from Gath named Goliath. And David said, wait a minute. Now see, he got there because of the bread and the cheese. That's what got him there. And if he's just a servant, he just delivers his bread and cheese and he leaves. But David is not just a servant. David recognizes a greater call on his life. And so David seizes an opportunity. Nobody's taking out Goliath. They're all hiding out. And David's like, wait a minute. So the first thing David said was this. He said, what happens to the man that defeats this giant? Why did he ask that question? He saw an opportunity. Down there delivering bread and cheese, he saw an opportunity. And watch this. They say, well, number one, he gets the king's daughter. David said, is she pretty? I mean, the Bible doesn't say he said that, but you got to know he asked that question. You just don't want everybody. You know, he had to ask something. I'm just kidding. But kind of serious. They said, well, you get the king's daughter. You get tax-free living. Your family will always be free in Israel. And David's like, man, and you get a bounty. He's like, let's go. See, and he set down his bread and cheese and grabbed his rock and sling. And he defeated Goliath, and it was that enemy in his life that promoted him. And he had an opportunity to address that enemy, and the enemy's what promoted him. When he defeated Goliath, Saul went back into town, and they praised him for his thousands. But when David went in town, they praised him for his 10,000s. David was promoted in the mind of the people because he took the initiative to address an enemy that nobody else would address. Listen, it is initiative that will cause you to go to the next level. Only the servant says, I don't do anything until I'm told to do it. The son says, I do what needs to be done for the sake of it needs to be done.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.